Frontage Dramas present Gold Is Where You Find It. This week's front page drama, Gold Is Where You Find It, is a dramatization of a feature article entitled Surprising Stories for People Who Don't Believe in Luck, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. In this front page drama, we are presenting three sample cases of people who during the past year have received a lucky break. Something did turn up, settling once and for all the arguments advanced by conservative skeptics who stoutly maintain there is no such thing as luck. In every case, the people we present are hard-working, honest souls, trying their best to better themselves but having no success until their lucky break comes along. Let's look at our first case, a hard-working farmer in the hills of Virginia, not far from the nation's capital. In the little kitchen at breakfast, he is talking with his wife.
Well, Mother, there doesn't seem to be any answer. We just got to plug along and hope for the best.
But, John, that note is due tomorrow. He had enough to pay the interest, never mind the principal. And you know Mr. Thompson has made it very definite that he won't renew it.
Mm-hmm. He can come and take the place over. He's welcome. I can't make a living of it. He can have it.
So where can he go? What can he do? We've worked this farm for 37 years.
Now, don't worry, Mother. We can make some arrangement. He won't just turn us out. He can probably stay on and work the place for him. The sheriff's office town.
A fine reward for a life's work. Sometimes I wonder if it's safe to lead a clean, honest life. You work yourself to death or what? A leaky roof over your head and just enough food to keep body and soul together.
Now, Sarah, don't go and get all upset again. I know it's pretty hopeless, but something will turn up.
Something will turn up. You've been saying that all your life. And the only thing that you've ever had turn up is a stony ground around this farm.
Well, now, something will turn up one of these days. Wait and see. Oh, but here I am gabbing away when I got time to do. I got to get going.
And leaving his wife to meditate upon their poverty and humdrum existence, the farmer hitched up an old swayback horse and started plowing the rolling field on a hillside near the house.
Get along. Get along now. Oh, 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 hold up there, boy. Whoa. Now, what in tarnation did I hit? If I broken that confound plow chair, back up, boss. Back up. Whoa, whoa, steady, boy, steady. Now, let's see what the name of goodness we got into here. Well, bust my buttons, it's a big box for some time. That plow chair drove right on through it.
Yep, that was a mighty one, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got it. Hmm. It's got a big lock on it, too. All rusted. Ought to be easy to knock that off. Chunk of rocks could do it. Yeah, that's got it. Now let's see what we got here. Yeah. That's my button. It's full of money. Great deal, there's hundreds of them.
Sarah! Sarah, come here! Come here, Sarah!
Hardly, the farmer's wife came rushing across the field to find out the cause of the excitement. And when her eyes feasted on the big rusty box filled with bills, well, she almost fainted. When they had both recovered, they carried the box down to the house and lost no time in notifying the sheriff, who promptly got in touch with the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington. And a few days later, we find the farmer and his wife in the spacious offices of one of the directors.
Well, now, Mr. Walters, we have carefully checked every possible source of information. And we have no record of any loss of such an amount. There's no record of any robbery, either. How that box got on your property is a mystery.
Well, sir, I've been plowing that field for 37 years, and my father before that. I wonder we never turned it up before. Now, what's going to become of it now, sir?
Well, Mr. Walters, these bills are gold certificates of large denomination and could have been retired a long time ago. So we'll have to take them in.
You mean they ain't ours? You can't get nothing on it?
No, Mrs. Walters. Quite the contrary. The money is rightfully yours, all of it. But we'll have to take this one and issue you new bills.
Well, thank you, sir. And if I'm being too inquisitive, how much do you figure there was in that box?
$90,000, Mr. Walters.
$90,000?
Oh! Look out, Mr. Walters. That isn't
funny. Yep. He never could stand prosperity.
Mrs. Walters quickly recovered, and they are now enjoying their newly acquired prosperity. Now let's speed across the broad Atlantic to England, turn back the calendar and relive those fearful days of last September when the war-mad dictators were threatening the peace of Europe. Mr. Henry Varley, an unemployed house painter, was discussing the ominous threat of air raids with Mrs. Varley.
Now, look, Annie, it says right here in the paper that all over the country people are digging air raid shelters.
I know, Annie, but our garden is all we've got. I can't dig up all the vegetables now just before they're ripe. What do we have to live on?
Annie.
We're lucky we bought this house and garden when we had the money. Those vegetables...
Now, look here, Annie. What good will vegetables be if you get your blinking head blown off with a bomb?
Now, well, God, missus, they ain't started dropping bombs yet. This thing might blow over.
Yes, and it might not. Father says we're a trace of the war now than we were in August
14.
I suppose you want to wait until we're blown out of our beds some night before you start digging a shelter.
Let me have another kip in an August time.
You know such thing, Andy Varley. I don't give you a minute's peace or another mortal appeal until you start digging that shelter.
All right, Captain Morgan. Give me that kip in another cup of tea and I'll dig a blinking air raid shelter.
You get to do, then. Start this morning. No lagging about. And remember, them bombs are ready. And I could do.
So bemoaning his fate, cursing the dictators, and grumbling at the annoying persistence of his wife, Henry Varley went to work with pick and shovel under a warm September sun. He dug down 7 feet when suddenly...
I struck a rock bed. And he's over and over go at this end. Well, that settles it. Oh, Doc, is what that is, and if the old woman thinks I'm going to pick my way through that, she's bombing. Hey, Alex, come here. Come here a minute. It's important.
What is it? If you think you're going to stop digging, you're wrong.
Look down here. I can't go any further. I struck solid rock.
Nonsense. There's no rock around here. You're just trying to get out of digging that iron road shelter.
Hey, what are you doing, Mrs. Marlowe, digging a trench for the next war? Well, Henry,
he's got to work in the sea.
Hey, Bill, stop down here and have a look at this. I'm arguing with the missus that I struck solid rock here, and she ain't believing me.
All right, Henry, anything to oblige. But what are you digging up your garden for?
The old lady got the wind up over the wall scared and talked me into digging an air raid shelter. Come on down and have a look.
Yeah. Wall scare, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, Henry, let's have a squint at it. Yeah. Look at that. Ain't that solid rock? Hold on, Henry. It don't look like rock to me. Looks like... Here, see if you can zip off a bit of that stuff so you can get a good look at it.
Okay, Bill. It ain't half all, Bill. Yeah, I know it. There's a cup.
That's what it looks like, all right. Yep. I'm pretty sure it is.
What is it, Bill? Is it
rock? Shiny, Bill. You look as if it's diamond.
Black diamonds is what it is. Hard coal. Emphasize.
Diamond? We've got a
coal
mine under
this place? I don't know, but if I were you, I'd have old man Jenkins from the steelworks to look at it. If it's hard coal, so close and easy to get at, you'll get plenty of money out of it.
Taking their neighbor's advice, they consulted the superintendent of the local steel mill. He brought one of his experts, and they thoroughly investigated. Then a mining expert was called in, and after a week of tests and boring, a representative of a financial organization called on Mr. and Mrs. Varley with a proposition.
So after further investigation, we have decided that by some unusual freak of nature, there is a very excellent stream of anthracite coal running under your property.
Hmm.
Being so close to the surface, it is easily and cheaply mined. So my organization has authorized me to make you two propositions.
Mm-hmm.
The first is an outright purchase of this property for cash. The second is a rental and royalty plan. Some cash down and so much to come on the coal mines in your property.
Well, that's a bit of real good news. What happened? I've been out of work for a year, and me and the missus were getting down on our luck.
Yes, sir, but what is your offer? How much are you prepared to buy it?
Well, the second plan is the one I'd recommend. It will give you the present value of your house and land in cash, plus 10 shillings upon royalty.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me, sir.
Yeah.
House and land is worth £650. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we get 10 shillings a ton, eh?
That's right. We estimate that there's at least 1,000 tons in that field. That would be another £500 to put in your bank.
Why, so, Governor? Bring out the papers and I'll sign.
With the ready cash, Henry Varley and his wife bought passage to Canada, far away from any air raid danger. Now for our third and final case in this little trilogy of luck. One day, a middle-aged widow, poor and dependent upon relief, was notified she had fallen heir to her uncle's house in a small town in western Pennsylvania. She decided to move her family of three girls out to live in the house. They were doomed to bitter disappointment when they saw it, and the mother and elder daughter went to work trying to clean it up.
Mother, do you want to sleep in the dirty place? I was just saying, now, let me see you in the flat. At least we have some heat and plenty of running water and gas and electric light.
Yes, dear, I realize now we made a mistake in moving here. But we just have to make the best of it. We can't afford to move back. Well, it'll take a little time. But with our furniture and curtains and some soap and water and a little hard work and paint here and there, we can at least make it livable. And we can always say it's our own.
Well, he must have been an eccentric old duffer, living in rags and spending all his time cooped up in a dirty, gloomy old place like this.
He was an eccentric, all right. The people in town say he used to pay his bills all in pennies.
That couldn't have been hard. He was living like he did. He could easily pay for anything he used in pennies.
Peggy, take that dirty old picture with the broken glass down off that wall over there.
I'll see what I can do about cleaning that wallpaper.
All right, Mom, but I'm almost afraid to touch it.
Things so filthy, I bet it hasn't been moved or dusted since the day we had.
Don't talk, get it down and throw it out.
Yeah, it's a thing.
So, what in the world is it?
There's a panel in the wall.
Couldn't see so to me. Wait, get me that screwdriver on the floor there. I'll pry it open.
There's something hidden back there. Here, Mother, here's the screwdriver.
Okay. Now, see if it'll pry open. Yes, here, give it a little. There. Now, take it a little bit wider.
Oh, see, Miss Hopkins. There's a little iron safe in there. See, there's the door here.
I'm hoping you open that. I hope there isn't any funny combination.
Yes, yes. I just turned the handle and it came open.
Here, take the drawers. It has some papers.
Papers? My eye. Look, Mother. They're $1,000 bills.
Wonder? Good matter, you just see.
Look for yourself. I don't even know you're so crazy when I see it.
They're not so embarrassed. $1,000 bills. Oh, here. I've got to sit down. The shop is almost too much.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Oh, there must be 100 of them. They're rich.
Yes, the daughter was right. There was 100. 102 $1,000 bills, to be exact, and they certainly were rich, because in addition to the cash, that old iron safe in the wall held securities that were worth more than the cash. Thus we conclude the three stories of people, poor, hard-working, and honest, who right on the brink of despair suddenly got a lucky break. You have just heard Gold is Where You Find It, a radio dramatization of surprising stories for people who don't believe in luck, one of the many fine feature articles to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Front Page Dramas present The Spirit is Willing.